Is risk management a barrier or an enabler for change, Anthony?
It should be an enabler. It should enable organisations to take risks within a framework that's going to support and drive the change that's needed. I suppose there is a little bit of covering of backsides insofar as if something goes wrong, we need to have a plan B, and we need to be able to demonstrate that we properly considered it. I mean, what's quite interesting is that if you look at the Wales Audit Office, the biggest issue we faced in recent years was not on our risk register, which was around the personal misconduct and criminal behaviour of a previous Auditor General. So that wasn't on our risk register. We now have something on our risk register that covers that would cover that, but that's a question to kind of ask yourselves, what isn't on your risk register? You know, think the unthinkable, what's not on there? Put it on there. There may not be anything you can do about it, but there equally may be something you can do about it. If there's nothing you can do about it, fine. You move on. You don't get hung up on it. So I think it should definitely be, a driver for change to enable organizations to take decisions and make the changes they need to take in the environment that we're currently in.
Thank you. So, Andy.
I think for me that point is so important to keep things that we may not know the answers to on our risk horizons is absolutely key, because it's only by starting by being constantly aware of sometimes the outside risks without just pushing them off boundaries because they're not in my remit or whatever, that we can really start to understand the possibilities down the line of making connections between things that we didn't understand. And it's really about understanding the connections, as for instance, between cycling and economic development, for instance. So cities that have more cycling not only have cleaner air and less road accidents, but they have better economic development because they're attracted. The businesses that are attracted to them attract those kind of people. So keeping things on our risk register can bring in surprising benefits from the side as long as we keep them visibility. If you lock the risks away and pretend they're not there, we lose that magic.
Andy, thank you. So Keely, SIPFA's perspective, is it an enabler or not?
I think when we were answering question two, I think it was, and we were talking about risk management and the process of risk management being used positively as well as negatively. And I spoke about being able to use it to identify opportunities. I mean, I certainly think it's an enabler for change. I mean, if you look at your existing risk register or your risk plan and you think, well, actually, can we somehow change our organisation to completely get rid of those risks? You know, is there a way, Andy mentioned earlier, you know, we shouldn't hang on to things that just because we've been doing them for a long time, you know, we feel like we have to continue providing the same services in the same way. You can use your risk management processes to identify perhaps some of those more high-risk areas, and you think, well, actually, is there now a different way that we can do this that will not only get rid of that risk, but also, you know, help us to do things in a different way. I mean, risk management is an integral part of various processes of an organisation, including change management. And I think one thing you have to be wary of, though, is quite a lot of failures, well-known failures, and I'm not going to use the Welsh Audit Office example that Anthony's used there, but let's say, for example, the failure of the security services at the Olympic Games, or other high-profile failures like those, where perhaps the risk management processes, they might have thought that they were well embedded, they might have thought that they were working well and the processes were fantastic, but actually, at the end of the day, they failed to anticipate some of the changes in the environment and the landscape, and, you know, they led to failures. So, yeah, it's a two-way process.
Keely, thank you. So, Fran, coming to you on this fourth question, enabler or not?
I would say it's a barrier.
Wow, but I wasn't
like my dramatic pause there.
Yeah.
If it's not done properly. Basically, if you haven't got the right culture and you haven't got the right attitude towards risk management, yes, it's very much a barrier. And I think going back to my earlier point, that's what shocked me when I was in this workshop yesterday to hear someone say, well, risk is just a way of giving you an excuse not to do something. That's clearly somebody who perhaps needs to reflect on what risk management is about. You've got to change that organisational culture. And I think, as Keely was just saying, one of the ways we've started to do that is to start to look at governance failures elsewhere. I think when you're trying to embed risk management throughout the organisation, sometimes your colleagues need that reminder of what can happen and what can go wrong. And that's not to create an attitude of we need to cover our backsides. It's just more that, you know, don't get complacent. Let's look broader and see what's going on in other organisations, not that far away from us. When governance slips up, things can go wrong. And it's about making people realise that risk management can be of benefit to them. And that's the difficulty. How do you get practitioners to understand that by going through this process, it has added value to their job role, that they see that it's helping them as well. And I think you can only do that if you keep risk management at a practical level. You know, don't make it burdensome and keep it streamlined. We've got to get away from this culture that we're not an important service if we haven't got a massive risk register. It's okay to just have one or two things on your risk register if you feel in general things are going okay.